Blog Talk Radio.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old life, if you're trying to feel the same old hold inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. He's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it,
Everybody, thank you for joining me tonight on Prolific Fire. I am Prophet Stacy, and this is Prolific Fire. If it's your first time, thank you so much. If it's your 700th time, thank you so much. Thank you for all the support. I truly appreciate it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, strengthen me, Lord God, to bring forth this message the way that you gave it to me, Lord God, that somebody will be set free, Lord God, that somebody will get a clearer understanding of the situation that they're in, Lord God, and help themselves, Lord God, do what they need to do for themselves, Lord God. After this message, Lord God, I give you the glory and the honor for moving on tonight like only you can. The first song I played, for those of you that enjoy the music, it was Chainbreaker by Zach Williams. The second song was Spirit of the Living God by Virtual Worship. Now, with that being said, let's jump right into tonight's message. The foundational text comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, and I will be reading this from the Message Bible. It's entitled Divorce. From there, he went to the area of Judah, across the Jordan. A crowd of people, as was so often the case, went along. And he, as he so often did, taught them. Pharisees came up intending to give him a hard time. They asked, "Is it legal for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus said, What did Moses command?" They answered, "Moses gave him permission to fill out a certificate of dismissal and divorce her." Jesus said, "Moses wrote this command only as a concession to your hard-hearted ways. In the original creation, God made male and female to be together. Because of this, a man leaves father and mother, and in marriage he becomes one flesh with a woman. No longer two individuals, but forming a new unity, because God created this organic union of the two sexes. No one should desecrate his art by cutting them apart." When they came back home, the disciples brought it up again. Jesus gave it to them straight. A man who divorces his wife so he can marry someone else commits adultery against her. And a woman who divorces her husband so she can marry someone else commits adultery against her. Again, that's Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12 from the Message Bible. I'm going to reiterate verses 10 through 12 because that's what's stuck in my head. When they came back home, The disciples brought it up again. Jesus gave it to them straight. A man who divorces his wife so he can marry someone else commits adultery against her. And a woman who divorces her husband so she can marry someone else commits adultery. God hates divorce. Seems like preachers and Christians in general, all over the body of Christ, has taken what is just one phrase out of a scripture and used it to warn, rebuke, and make believers afraid to get a divorce. And that's why somebody right now, you're stuck in a marriage you need to get out of. Somebody right now under the sound of my voice, you're stuck in a marriage you need to get out of. But you're afraid to get out of it because of what church folks around you would say. Somebody else, you're staying in that abusive, dysfunctional marriage because of your wedding vows. You don't want to dishonor your wedding vows. You need to know there's a huge difference between death do us part and somebody killing you. There's a huge difference between death do us part and somebody killing you. Beloved, God hates divorce. Yes, he does. He hates divorce. Just like many of you hate the job you go to every week. But that doesn't make it any less necessary. Beloved, God hates divorce. Just like many of you hate the job you go to every week. But that doesn't make it any less necessary. Yes, God hates divorce, but the entire scripture from which that phrase was snatched, it says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marital separation, and him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Okay, right there we see three things. Number one, God hates divorce. Number two, God hates marital separation. And number three, God hates a husband who covers his wife with violence. It's a man who covers his wife with violence, a husband that covers his wife with violence. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you need to know that God does not condone violence against women. You need to know that God does not, I don't care how it looks, God does not condone violence against women. Husbands, take your hand off your wife. You are in direct violation against God. Take your hands off your wife because you are in direct violation against God. God hates a man who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. In the rest of the scripture, God says, therefore keep a watch upon your spirit. Therefore keep a watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly with your marriage mate. And the full scripture from which the phrase God hates divorce, I read to you, Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, from the Amplified Classic Bible. Beloved, despite what you've been taught, despite what you've been taught tonight, sometimes a divorce is necessary. Hear me tonight. Sometimes a divorce is necessary. The Bible goes on to talk about your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, King James Version, meaning God lives in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which means that God lives in you. 1 John 4 and 4, greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. So anybody that abuses your body, your temple, physically or sexually, is actually abusing the God in you. Anybody that abuses you sexually or physically, they are abusing the God in you. Abusing your power, causing you to feel powerless, and a divorce is necessary. Yeah, I said it, and a divorce is necessary. If that's your situation you're currently in, if that's your situation, the situation you're currently in, a divorce is necessary. If it's not your body they're abusing, but the body of your child, physically, sexually, etc., a divorce is necessary. Everybody listening in now or later to the replay, please study the Word of God. I'm asking you tonight, pleading with you almost, to study the Word of God for yourself so that you will know God's character. Study the Word of God so that you will know His character and you will be able to detect what's out of character for Him and what's not. And stop falling prey to the use of one phrase, because I know everybody under the sound of my voice, you know, heard some preacher somewhere stand up and say, God hates divorce, but they didn't never give you an explanation. So that's why God said, be here tonight, because sometimes a divorce is necessary. Everybody listening on the sound of my voice, please study the word so you'll know God's character for yourself and to take when it's out of character for to take what's out of character for him, it was not. And stop falling prey to the use of a phrase instead of the whole scripture. You falling prey to just the use of one phrase instead of the whole scripture being used and explained to you. God hates the voice truth, but God also loves children. It says he, Jesus, took them, the children, in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. That's Mark 10 and 16, NIV. And in Psalms 127 and 3 from the New Living Translation, children are referred to as a gift from the Lord, a reward from him. And in Matthew 1, God told Joseph to marry Mary. Not only that, he told him to accept Jesus as his son. And he gave Joseph the awesome responsibility of being a stepfather and being the one to name Jesus, establishing his identity. So what am I saying? Simply put, do not marry someone who does not love and accept your children as their own. Do not marry someone who does not love and accept your children as their own. Do not marry or stay married to someone who is not trying to shape your children's identity, but is underhandedly trying to destroy them from the inside out. Your children are a blessing. They are a gift, a reward from God. So stay watchful. Stay watchful. Stay alert. And if some behavior arises in your new spouse, abusive behavior that was previously hidden because the devil knows how to hide himself. So if some behavior in your new spouse arises, some abusive behavior that was previously hidden, do not just dismiss it as nothing. Do not just dismiss it as nothing. Don't endanger your children for the sake of a marriage. Do not endanger your children for the sake of a marriage. I know I'm talking to somebody tonight. Do not endanger your children for the sake of a marriage that was obviously not God ordained in the first place. Do not endanger your children for the sake of a marriage that was not God ordained in the first place. The scripture says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What God has joined together, yes, but it says nothing about keeping together what you yourself put together. It says, let no man put asunder what God put together, but it didn't say nothing about keeping together what you put together. And some of the marriages represented tonight, you put that together yourself. If you be honest, you know you did that yourself. Mark 10 and 9, King James Version, other voice is necessary. Of course, most of us know that God makes an exception and rules in favor of divorce when a spouse has been sexually unfaithful. Of course, we all know, most of us know anyway, that when a spouse has been unfaithful sexually, God rules in favor of divorce. Matthew 19 and 9. Now, let's get into tonight's message. Tonight's message is divorce and marrying again. God just wanted me to tell somebody all of that. Now I'm actually getting into tonight's message part. But it all goes together. Somebody needed that. Tonight's message, divorce and marrying again. When you think about it, God himself went through a type of divorce when he had to strip Adam of the privileges he and Eve had enjoyed in the garden. They chose to be unfaithful to him. They chose to disobey him and partook of forbidden fruit. Read Genesis 3. So God ends up divorcing Adam and Eve and bringing in Jesus. Glory to God. He had to divorce Adam and Eve to bring in Jesus, the second Adam. Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. Therefore, beloved, it's not a sin to remarry. There's nothing wrong or sinful about the second spouse. After all, Jesus himself was the second Adam. After the first Adam messed up on God. Going into tonight's foundational text again, I'm going to read this. When they were back at home, the disciples brought it up again. Jesus gave it to them straight. A man who divorces his wife so he can marry someone else commits adultery against her. And a woman who divorces her husband so she can marry someone else commits adultery. It's okay to divorce somebody because they messed up on you. Hear me tonight. It's okay to divorce somebody because they messed up on you. They were unfaithful to you, abusive to you, physically, sexually, abusive physically and or sexually to your children. And they do not fully accept your children as their own. And it shows and is affecting your children. Divorce is necessary. Like I said, a divorce is necessary. But if the only reason you want a divorce, hear this part real good. But if the only reason you want a divorce is because you got your eyes on somebody else, if you only want a divorce because somebody has tricked you into believing the grass is greener, better, so to speak, on the other side, you, sir, you, ma'am, are about to be tricked into committing adultery. You, sir, you, ma'am, are about to be tricked into committing adultery. You see, God's way of thinking says you don't have to physically do a thing to actually have done a thing. God's way of thinking says you don't have to physically do a thing to actually have done a thing. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman, just looks at her, anybody who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart, has already had sex with her in his heart. Matthew 5:28 NIV. And the Bible goes on to say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7, New King James. Again, I tell you, if you're thinking of that person in a sexual way, or if you're married, but you have your eyes on somebody else, you have already committed adultery. Somebody, you have filed for a divorce from your spouse. And your only reason for doing so is you don't want them no more. Because you want to go and marry somebody else. According to tonight's foundational text, you have committed adultery. Whether male or female, you have committed adultery. Somebody else, you are seriously considering divorcing your husband because he's not saved. He's not a Christian. If he's not abusive to you or your children in any kind of way, he actually does the things a husband and a father are supposed to do, but he's just not saved. Meaning in right standing with God. You must not leave him. You must not leave him, but pray about the issues that exist between you. But pray about the issues that exist between you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:13-15, and if a Christian woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. She must not leave him. That's the New Living Translation. The NIV says she must not divorce him. For the Christian woman brings holiness to her marriage, and the Christian husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy. But now they are holy. New Living Translation. The ESV says, for the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and vice versa. The unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, hear me, if they insist on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the Christian husband or wife is no longer bound to the other. The Christian husband or wife is no longer bound to the other. For God has called you to live in peace. Somebody tonight, God has called you to live in peace. That's a New Living Translation. Beloved, if they insist on leaving, let them go. You are no longer bound. God has called you to live in peace. I hear somebody in my spirit saying, I'm no longer bound. I'm no longer bound. Now, I don't know what went on between you and your spouse, but it's like my grandmother used to say, Don't nobody really know what goes on behind closed doors. Don't nobody really know but the ones that live there. Don't nobody really know what goes on behind closed doors. Don't nobody really know but the ones that live there. So it's not a sin to get a divorce and remarry, not as long as the reason for the divorce prior to the remarriage is something that lines up with the Word of God. You got to make sure that your reasoning for getting a divorce lines up with the Word of God. And the only way that you're going to really know that is to know God for yourself, to get to know his character. Because even now it's sad, but even now you can't even go to church and get a clear explanation because they'll just quote one phrase. And maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you ain't been saved that long. You don't have no idea what that means. And And you're thinking to yourself, my situation is bad. Meaning telling me, God, I got to stay in this situation. This man, this woman, then just about took my life and just about stripped me of everything I got. And you mean tell me I got to stay in this situation? God hates divorce, but he hates it the same way that you hate getting up going to your job, and the job is necessary. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes a divorce is necessary too. But as the word goes on to say, if he's willing to stay with you, and he's doing everything he's supposed to do, he's not perfect. You still got issues. But if he's willing to stay and he's not hurting you any kind of way, hurting your children, guess what? You should stay. You should stay and you should pray about what's going on that's wrong, because God can fix anything. He can fix anything. Beloved, if they insist on leaving, let them go. You are no longer bound. God has called you to live in peace. I hear somebody saying in my spirit, I am no longer bound. So it's not a sin to get a divorce and remarry. Not as long as the reason for the divorce prior to the remarriage is something that lines up with the word of God. That's why, again, I urge everybody under the sound of my voice to read the word of God and get familiar with the character of God. Get familiar with his character for yourself. Read the word of God and get to know his character. Then you can judge your own situation. You don't have to worry about nobody else judging you. Then you can judge your own situation, because like my grandmother said, don't nobody know what goes on behind closed doors, really. Nobody but you. So you can judge your own situation. Get to know God's care, then you can judge your own situation. Then you can judge what's going on in your house, because you are the one that really knows what's going on. You are the one that really knows how things are. There's a beautiful scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 from the Amplified Classic Bible that I just love. Again, it's Jeremiah 9:24 from the Amplified Classic AMPC that talks about knowing God's character. This scripture talks about knowing God's character, and I just love it. It's beautiful. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me personally and practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. But these are the things I delight. These are the things I delight, says the Lord. These are the things I delight in, says the Lord. Now allow me to close this message the way I began. God hates divorce. We back to the same phrase. God hates divorce. True, God hates divorce the same way many of you hate the job you go to every week. But that does not mean that job or that divorce is not necessary. Somebody listening to me, don't you dare. Don't you dare stay in a marriage that has the potential to take your life or your child's life, a marriage that is destroying you both physically and mentally. Don't you dare stay in a marriage like that, all because you're afraid of what some church folks would say. There's a huge difference between church folks and kingdom people. There's a huge difference between church folks and kingdom people. Church folks are judgmental. I'll be honest with you tonight. Church folks are judgmental and harsh, like they've never done anything wrong. And being in a bad situation, they're harsh and they're judgmental, like they've never done anything wrong, never been in a bad situation. But kingdom people are merciful, like the Father, realizing that we too have been wrong and in a bad situation. But God, it was because of his grace and his mercy that I'm not the same person that I used to be. We recognize as kingdom people that we must have mercy on other people, because we once were where they are, if not still there. So, beloved, from the kingdom, I tell you, get out of that marriage ASAP, as soon as possible. Get out of that abusive, dysfunctional marriage as soon as possible. As soon as possible. S-A-S-P. ASAP. Remarrying after that person has messed up on you can just be what you needed. Remarrying after that person has messed up on you can be just what you needed. A beautiful new start. You can choose to stay single. The choice is yours. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I am so glad tonight that Adam messed up on God, forcing God to then bring us Jesus, the second Adam. Father God, bless all the second marriages out there. Bless them with Jesus. Bless all those that need to get out of a marriage. Bless all those that need to get out of a marriage. I ask that you put a hedge fence of protection around them and their children. And bless that one that hears this message and realizes now that they got divorced for the wrong reason. Bless them to do the right thing, whatever the right thing might be for them in their current situation. Forgive their sins. Forgive our sins. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, go to the website tonight. I want you to go to the website tonight. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, go to prolificfireministry.com. Prolific, P-R-O-L-I-F-I-C. fireministry.com. There you can learn more about salvation and get saved, get in right standing with God. Right now, I'm going to open the phone lines. If there's anybody on the phone lines via Blog Talk Radio Design Prayer about a specific issue, press 1 on your phone and I will be glad to pray with you. Once again, thank you for joining me on tonight. If you desire prayer, just press 1 on your phone and I will be glad to pray with you on tonight. Okay, I see there are no live prayer requests on tonight, but if anybody listening to me, whether you listen through Blog Talk Radio, listen through Facebook or Twitter, listen however you listen, whether now or later, and you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690, and no, I don't mind. That's what I've been called to do. Again, the number is 865-408-8690. Or go to your computer and email me, or your phone and email me at prolificfire@gmail.com. You can email me prolificfire@gmail.com, and I will be glad to hear from you. prolificfire@gmail.com. The number again is 865-408-8690. Also, you can connect with me on Twitter at prolificfire, on Periscope at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy. If you're not following me on Instagram, do so. It's fun. On Instagram at Prophetess Stacy and like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Everybody on the sign of my voice, be sure to join my sister in Ministry Prophetess Pate for Faith on the Line this Friday. Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate is a time of prayer and encouragement. So if you need prayer, which I know you do, and encouragement, join her Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling the same number that you call. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, you can join her by calling the same number that you call tonight. Just call back on Friday, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. The number is 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. Phone lines will be open to pray with you on that specific night as well. Then join me back here for Prolific Fire Monday Night's Online Church, when the message will be, even when you're not getting what you need, even when you're not getting what you need, can you still love even when you're not getting what you need? Can you be supportive even when you're not getting what you need? Can you show up and do what's expected of you even when you're not getting what you need? So that's what we're going to talk about next week. And if you're new to this ministry and you don't know the vision statement of this ministry, why this woman coming on here talking about real-life issues, is because the vision statement, the anointing that God has placed on my life, the vision statement is Prolific Fire Seeker to help you where you hurt, which simply means we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. With that being said, I hope to see many of you Friday night supporting my sister and then back here on Monday. Have a good night, everybody. God bless.